Another money-saving secret from Arm & Hammer.
My name is Malena. I'm from Los Angeles, California. I love Arm & Hammer Sensitive Skin Plus Scent Laundry Detergent. It cleans really well. It doesn't irritate my skin, and it smells wonderful.
Arm & Hammer Sensitive Skin Plus Scent has a skin-friendly scent people love, so it's preferred 2-to-1 over the leading free and clear detergent, and it costs up to 30% less.
We've been on a very tight budget lately, so it's a no-brainer.
The clean you need at a fraction of the cost.
You're listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network, now the largest new media platform on the web and your number one source for after-show entertainment. Very good,
The AfterBuzz Studios in Los Angeles, California. Presented by Maria Menounos and Bing.com. And streaming live thanks to Akamai Technologies. This is AfterBuzz TV's Whodunit After Show. We'll break down tonight's episode and get you all the latest news and gossip. And now, another post-game wrap-up show for your favorite TV show. It's AfterBuzz TV's Whodunit After Show.
Hello, hello. Here we are at AfterBuzz talking about the season premiere of Whodunit. So first of all, we're going to introduce all of our hosts. I'm Steph Z.
Hey, guys. It's Virginia.
Brian.
Sweet. And I think the first thing we're going to talk about is a little bit of the rules and how we think the game is played. I think we all feel a little bit unsure of the actual rules.
Right. I'm a little confused as to what's going on.
I mean, they just kind of throw us in. You see a sketchy butler. You see some people who...
I like Giles.
Sketchy is good in this sense. I mean,
he's a good cast. I think he's a good casting for the role.
Yeah, I still wanted them to spring for Tim Curry, but it's okay. I guess it's, you know, they can go with this guy.
Well, I think some of the things we do know. We do know that there's a $250,000 prize.
Yes.
To solve the mystery. We're not quite sure how you get that prize. I feel like what we've come up with is that there's a set, it's judged on how they, you know, redo and replay the death, so to speak, in the library. And judged on that, people are saved or not saved or spared or scared. And then the bottom two, someone just gets picked to go home. But I feel like it wasn't very like, you know, there's 10 clues you have to find out. And whoever gets the least amount of clues, they go home. It's kind of like, you know, and your go home is you get to stage a death that everyone else has to figure out.
Yeah, I mean, as far as we know, it's a, you know, it the way they present it is right now it's a complete black box as to, you know, whether they're going through a checklist, whether there's, you know, whether there's a focus group or someone that's like that's judging things, or whether it's purely, you know, producers in a room saying, okay, well, you know, we want this person off, we want this person on. Hopefully we'll get a little clarity maybe in the next episode, or even, you know, even through maybe off-screen publicity. You know, that was one thing that I think kind of was one of the main things that concerned me about the first episode, was the black box of how exactly people were on and off. We know.
Right. A lot of people, as we looked on Twitter, some of you guys were live tweeting during the show. I didn't get that memo, so next week I'll do that as well. But a lot of people were tweeting about Clue, the game Clue, and then we actually did some research of our own after we watched it, and there is a board game called Whodunit as well. So we're going to look into the rules a little bit more, something about like 10 clues and something like that that they went off of. So maybe they're trying to follow something that we as the viewer should already know, but again, I think it was unclear a little bit.
Yeah, it does definitely seem subjective at this point, because, you know, we saw them all in the room giving, you know, who the murderer was or who they thought the murderer was and what they thought the weapon was. You know, was it by drowning or by gunshot, whatever. So yeah, I definitely like to see a little bit more into how they're figuring out who did the best and who did the worst.
Yeah, I think that's interesting. I do like that there's a little drama in the house a little bit and keeps it together. Like, I thought it was very interesting. Like, right from the beginning, certain people were trying to pair up as teams, but even within those teams, they were kind of lying. So it really is, like, no one to be trusted, you know?
Yeah.
As soon as they revealed the mini premise of you know, three different rooms and you can only pick one. You know, I was watching with Virginia and I was saying, well, that's, you know, this is actually a good setup for creating, you know, creating interaction and drama, where there's a situation where if you really want to know everything, you have to at least try to ally with people. And then, you know, you've got the opportunity for people to be truthful or, you know, lie to others. And then, I mean, you basically have to have an alliance at that point, regardless of, you know, whether people are actually voting each other out as on Survivor. Like, you've got basically the knowledge is separated in three rooms, so you need three people or else you're only seeing part of the story.
But then I also, like, that kind of makes me wonder. So if the murderer is among them and the murderer gets to go to one of the rooms, do they have to be truthful with everybody? Because then the producers would have to tell them, you have to be honest with every person, because then they're also twisting who knows what.
Right. I feel like if it was me, I would tell them to, like, play stupid simple. You know what I mean? Like, participate, but don't be the one with the bright idea. You know what I mean? And the three places that we're talking about, the butler comes in and tells them they have to pick either to go to the crime scene, the last known whereabouts, or the morgue. And I thought that was very interesting how some of the people who were ex-cops or ex-detectives, they all picked, like, you know, either the morgue or the last whereabouts because they wanted to get evidence from what would, you know what I mean? And even the, I think Don, who is saying he's the football coach, he wanted to go as well because he was using a lot of his skills, and people are believing the skills, or you can use the skills to, like, throw people off as well. So I think it's very interesting how they picked right away which ones to go to.
Yeah, and I instantly didn't like Cam, the guy that was like...
Really?
Yeah, oh, we were having a huge talk about it because he just seemed really bro-y. Like, hey, bro, you're going to go do this. You're going to go do this. And, you know, like, I don't really need to share any other information with you.
Yeah, he basically found, like, the two young guys and was like, you're clearly I think he explicitly said it. He's like, you guys are clearly the smartest people here, so let's...
And the strongest, I think he said, too, something like
and
that.
And I was
right.
just like, what the...
Right.
It was weird. But one other thing that we were talking about in, you know, especially in the scenes where they were going to those three rooms, was the amount of talking that was going on was, you know, was kind of interesting. Instead of people kind of keeping their thoughts to themselves, you know, I guess we'll have to see whether that was really them revealing what they were doing. But I mean, even Don was like, well, you know, this means X, and, you know, the fact that her body's positioned like this means Y.
Right.
And, you know, we thought it was really interesting that there was that type of revelation going on, you know, as to whether it was actually truthful or not. I think we'll see as that develops.
Yeah, I think they're not really thinking about playing the game yet, because even as Ronnie was saying, like, oh, you know, Ronnie was the one that was solving the looking through the window. You know, he was like, why didn't I keep it to myself and then go find something? You know, like, they're talking and they're giving away more information. If it was me and I'm playing for $250,000, if I see something, I'm not going to tell anybody. You know,
right.
Or I might tell my select few people that I already trust. I'm not going to, you know, like, as Don was walking over the crime scene, he was pointing out everything he noticed. Like, why would you do that? Oh. Or maybe he was making up stuff, but he didn't really seem that
right
with it when, you know, he was obviously the one that was on the bottom.
But if it's a multi-step game, I mean, sometimes, like, I mean, actual just game theory is you don't always play your dominant, you don't play the same, basically, scheme every time. So,
right.
I mean, if it makes sense early on to build trust, if, you know, if that's one way of doing it, is you get everyone to trust what you're saying the first time, because then it's, you know, then you have a credible...
But in the same sense, that's what Dante said, and he's gone.
He's gone. I don't think there's a clear way.
Sorry.
But I mean, we can skip ahead to...
Spoiler alert.
Spoiler alert, right. Well, let's break it down real quick. I think let's go through all the competitors. And let's see. So we had Cam, who was Homeland Security. So maybe he's trying to use that, like, he is a know-it-all. That's why he's trying to pick people. Maybe he's playing that, like, sleazy whatever card to his favor.
He's definitely playing that card.
Right. Okay.
He's definitely playing the sleazy attorney
card. Yeah.
We have Sherry, who right from the start, I actually picked her because, like, oh, the cheerleader, like, they're going to make that, you know, she's going to be one of the people because it's who you would least expect. But then she dies right away. So it's
not
her.
And you were happy the cheerleader died right away.
I was amused by the way that the butler was like, of course the cheerleader died. You know what I mean? I was like, really? You're going to do that? Okay, that's funny. Then we had Adriana, who... apparently people don't like her that much. She was the TV crime reporter. People didn't like her, and two people actually picked her at the end. So she's a very, she's a little bit, her attitude is like a know-it-all, but doesn't, isn't sure of herself, but she's got a very weird vibe, I think.
Well, because she like tries to impose on people. Like they said, hey, the three of us are going to go over here and have a little chat. Like, respect that. Obviously, they're trying to form a little bond. Don't go like jump in on that, because then you just seem like you're intrusive. And right. That was the vibe I got from her. Like, ooh.
Right. And then when they were clearly like, we don't want you to be here, she's like, okay, well, I'm just going to leave my plate here and just leave like a presence of me here. Like, was there like a speaker, or was like her food bugged or something? Like, who does that? Like, I'm just going to leave my plate here and I'm going to go over there. Yeah. Like, that was really weird.
I got a bit of a producer finger on the scale with her vibe. Like, I mean, as if they, you know, they need to set up someone as kind of an intrusive or a villain, or at least someone to kind of throw a little bit of suspicion from the beginning. Because I mean, I know she's a TV reporter, but I didn't get any reason why she would otherwise be doing that sort of thing. Like, she really was trying to basically get on the out and outs with everyone. Like, being that intrusive, like, no one.
Yeah, I tend to think that too, that there was a couple of people that were obvious, and they're like a throw off a little bit. But we could be wrong. Maybe that's the twist. You know what I mean? Like, it is still early. It's, you know, episode one.
Right.
So a lot of this is just hearsay, and I'm sure in the next weeks to come we might change our minds a little bit.
Brian was talking about that twist, actually, because he was saying, since it is the creators of CSI, how they always have like a obvious person at first, and then it kind of changes, and it's never who you think it's going to be.
Yeah, the first act, it always, you know, always throws up, you know, kind of a dummy,
right?
And just, you know, just, and even the audience doesn't really, you know, believe it, but at the same time, like, it's, you know, it's interesting. It draws attention. I mean, I think if anything, it draws more attention from the people in the house. I do think that the people in the house were like, "What is this woman?"
And I think it's designed to do that, to throw people off, to get them on there, just to make them feel awkward in any way, shape, or form, so that they're not trusting their own gut in a way. You know what I mean? It's making them think twice about everything, which I think is kind of smart for this kind of show. Then we had Don, who's saying he's a football coach. A couple of people don't believe him, but he's still, you know, playing the football coach card. So we'll see how that goes. We have Lindsay, who's the engineer. It's kind of on the quiet side.
Yeah, the preacher's daughter. She was the one that gave, you know, she said, oh, I immediately knew that was a Bible verse.
Right.
That type of thing. So, yeah.
Yeah. And then we have Dante, who was, he said he was a writer because he writes on Facebook and Twitter, which, I mean, okay, you can go with that. But he was the insurance broke investor, right?
Investigator. I would avoid investing in his insurance company if they have settling claims for them.
Yeah. And then we had Melinda, who was the flight attendant, which was
Melina,
which kind of was a little bit like with everybody else's, it was the weird job.
Sketchy.
I thought,
especially because she has been conspicuously overacting. I mean, at first, we were like, wow, she's really overacting. And then I began to wonder whether she was intentionally overacting and is actually a good actor who is acting as not.
Right, right.
Because, like, she, you know, there'd be, like, a reveal, and she'd be like,
right.
And, it was.
Maybe it's her.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we have Sasha, who, what was Sasha's job?
I don't remember
either.
She's a journalist.
She the journalist?
TV journalist from North Carolina.
Okay. Who, for me, for some reason, I think it's her. We'll wait to predictions.
I really didn't like her.
Really?
I don't remember what it was, but I was just like, oh, she's kind of annoying. I don't know what it was. And then when they picked her to be safe, I was like, oh, really? Yeah, I didn't like her.
Huh, okay.
I thought she was sassy and on the ball.
Oh, that's what it was. Because remember, she had like a little confrontation with, was it Dana? She had a little confrontation with Dana.
She was a little bit sassy.
She was sassy.
She did. She I think it was Dana.
Yeah. Sassy Sasha.
And then we have Ulysses, who was the attorney.
Was he an attorney?
Yeah.
We suspect he's an actor.
I think he could be an
attorney.
See, but maybe that's the thing. Maybe like half of them are actors, and then they're gonna like roll it down to a certain few, and they're gonna be like, okay, you guys were really the one. You know, like that would make sense to me, because like someone that goes to compete on a show, like Sherry. if she really like filled out this stuff to compete on a show and went through all these casting and steps to compete and then dies because she dropped the glass, really?
Right. Well, that's the thing that I don't understand. It's like, what is really going on? And even the people at the very beginning, the guy was like, I don't even know, you know, is it a murder mystery? I thought it was going to be a puzzle. Like, how did they think it was going to be a puzzle that they were solving? I really want to know what's going on.
I want to know what's going on, too. I think we're going to find out. We hope we're going to find out very soon. Okay,
Ulysses skinny. I just have to say, his formal attire being the skinny tie told me that he was probably not working as a litigating attorney, at least. Probably more.
Brian's an attorney. So.
Oh, there we go.
Well, the skinny ties tells me he's an actor. But maybe I'm
crazy.
What
would a bow tie tell you?
Butler.
Okay, that is. We had Chris, the ex-beauty queen, which is another, like...
What's she doing now?
Actress.
That's something...
Yeah. It's like ex-cheerleader, ex-beauty queen, flight attendant. Like,
to be fair.
What about some, like, powerful women?
No, I know. But to be fair, flight attendant is an actual job. I think
that's true.
If you tell the IRS that you're an ex-beauty queen, they're probably going to come investigating your source of income.
Yeah, you're not allowed to write off your makeup then. Okay. Okay, then we had Gino. Who I liked, Gino, the bar trivia host.
Oh, I liked him because the first time we saw him, he was taking a nap.
He was waking up.
I was in on it because they're like, go to your rooms. And he's like, great, finally. They've been dragging me around. I'm going to go to sleep while everyone else
is scheming. He's just real. He's like, I'm here. What's up? Let's play. If I figure it out, cool. If I die, I hope I don't.
Yeah.
And then Dana was the cardiac nurse.
Right.
You didn't like her?
Well, all right. No, I didn't say I didn't like her, but her one thing was like, I'm going to go to the morgue and use my medical skill. And then she just kept being like, that's part of the cervical.
She thought it was a spinal cord hanging out of the neck.
But it was made of lead. And I was like, it's not Terminator 2 here. I mean,
we're going to get to that in a minute because I have something else about that, because they weren't instructed that they could play with the body.
Yeah,
right.
All of a sudden, they were like picking BBs and slingshot balls out.
And presumably, that's Sherry just laying there. So I just thought it was weird. Like, when one of them lifted up like the sheet, I was like,
Oh my God.
What's going on there?
Right. And then we have, and to sum up all the cast, we have Ronnie, who's the private investigator, bounty hunter.
Bounty hunter.
I was just like, okay, awesome. Yeah. Let's go through each of the three spots. So the morgue, we're all curious about the morgue. First off, what I'm curious about, because at the end, how they, recap what happened, how did the glass get in her forehead?
Right. Let's think here. You get hit in the back of the head. Okay, no glass goes in your forehead at that point. She falls into the glass tank.
Yeah, cracks.
If she takes it cracks, but if she takes a chunk out of it, it's gone immediately. Like that's broken.
No, yeah, that's not what they
They show a little, they show it like, you know.
Yeah, and then the water
webs.
Pressure makes it break, which is I think that's could be legit.
That, no, that
but
could
glass
be legit.
Flying
right.
Because of that and embedding this, into her skull. Yeah.
This isn't an, this is not like the, yeah, this is not the aquarium of the Pacific. There aren't orcas in there. there are goldfish. There's probably, I don't know, maybe 50
gallons.
I hope
no fish got hurt during the filming. Yeah, please, whodunit, tell us that no animals were harmed during the filming.
I'm guessing that they will have that if we look closely, we will find a disclaimer.
Yeah. And then it was so with the morgue, we've got the forehead, which we all think was a little bit planted. Then they go to the back of the neck, and like, not for nothing, I've watched a lot of crime shows. Like, I love watching crime shows. They usually don't flip the body over like that. Like, it was like one of them kind of knew. Did you guys sense that too? You know what I mean?
Yeah,
absolutely. It was like the body was laying there, and then all of a sudden they're like, oh, wait, let's flip and see if there's something in the back. And they did say, like, how did the cut happen and stuff like that, but usually don't see them. Right. And I was very shocked that he didn't say, you are allowed to touch the body. You have to put gloves on. You have to use this. You have to use that. It was kind of just like a free-for-all. They were just like poking around in there.
Well, that's what I was wondering when they first showed the crime scene. Because, okay, if he was a police officer, wouldn't he think, hey, I got to pull out my gloves?
Well, right.
If you're touching the crime scene,
you need
gloves.
You do that to prevent tampering. Tampering. Well, tainting the evidence for later in court. We're not, I mean... But yeah.
I'm just saying.
No,
they should have like given us a warning.
Or there should have been someone down there that was the person that you just said do this, do that. Someone like dressed in like morgue gear, whatever.
I felt like we were. There was either a heavy-handed producer in every room, really, or someone who's a Confederate in every room. Because I mean. Seriously,
oh my God, I love
the steam, you know, the steam on screen. Like,
oh, there happens to be a steamer like right here.
Well, not just that, but someone found like the remnants of that. I mean, if you're in a dry room,
we'll move to that. Right. The last room.
No, who
you're
decided?
Still in the
who decided to pull out a spine? If you thought it was a spine, are you going to really pull out her spine?
Right.
Yeah, well, that's why I was...
Oh, it looks like a bone. Right. Oh, no, it's a silver bone.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, let's pull out the vertebrae. That's not a great idea.
You're not going to pull out somebody's vertebrae?
That was a consistent theme. It felt very heavy-handed, like there was someone in there kind of, you know, prodding him to do stuff. I would have liked to at least have seen a maid or butler come in and
a mortician
give him a little,
riddle.
Someone that was just like, you know. And, like, even, like, in the crime shows, like, time of death. You know, like, they weren't trying to figure out the normal things. They were pulling and prodding on spines and musket balls.
The musket ball was...
But that was good. Right. I believed the musket ball for a second. And then when they were like, where was the shot? And I was like, oh, okay. I totally didn't hear a shot.
Yeah.
So...
But someone still, in their summation, was like, which one who said that she was shot?
Dante said she drowned.
Yeah, Dante said, yes.
How did she drown?
I don't know. Yeah. Because she would actually have to be dunked from above into that fish tank without it exploding. But
his theory was that the musket ball paralyzed her and she fell into the fish tank face first and drowned.
Yeah.
I feel like he's giving away a lot of insurance money.
Yeah, least profitable insurance company ever.
Yeah. I mean, Dante, we love you, but I'm going to go to Geico.
Yeah, I mean... That's what we want.
Okay, so let's move back to the last known whereabouts. Right. Yeah, the mirror was a little bit staged, we felt. I don't, like, why did that one piece of mirror stay fogged?
Yeah, I just don't understand.
Anyone?
Brian?
If they raised the temperature and the humidity in that room, they could keep it going. But I mean, I know why actually, because they left the shower on. If you look closely, the shower was on.
The shower was dripping.
Right, but if it's on warm enough and dripping in there, I'm sure that they did it so that they probably timed their entry so that it was still slightly foggy in there.
I get that they made it up. But we all just agree that it shouldn't have been that way, absolutely.
I love it that we've turned this into a comedy.
It's awesome.
Well, no, it's a bit of a... Yeah. It's,
yeah.
It's, okay, and, but what was... Okay, so they had the bottom of the trunk. They never even explained what that was.
I think that was just her, trying to like... Yeah, but that had nothing to do with it. I think that was just her trying to distract or be know-it-all or something like that.
Well, she distracted me, because I want to know. But in the end,
like, there was no... And of course, in this show, we're going to jump around a little bit because it's like the clues lead up to the end. And then that's why we know that they were false. You know what I mean? Like some other shows where you do the stuff at the end. But no, I agree. That was, I think, a little bit pointless. And even like the crowbar with the door with the wood chips. I mean,
it was a bit heavy handed.
Yeah.
Yes. A bit ham fisted, if you will.
Okay. And now let's move to the crime scene. So, again, I feel like the sparking plug was a little bit...
I really enjoyed it. It's so...
Oh, I loved it.
Yeah,
I feel like...
A little background. I'm a huge fan of Steven Seagal movies. And one thing that they do really well is...
Electrocution?
After someone dies, they just... You know, they're not afraid. Canonical scene, Under Siege 2, someone gets thrown off a cliff. You watch him spiral down like 1,000 feet. Then there's a jutting out rock that is going to die anyway. Body smacks off. And, you know, it's the same type of thing. Why not? A little, you know, she's already dead. She's been hit by a musket ball.
But they said that she didn't show signs of that she was electrocuted.
Right.
There was no... electricity coming out. She wasn't charred. So was that a distraction? Like maybe the person, the murderer, is also playing what they know about people. Like the cops will see the plug and automatically be like, well, that had something to do with this. That happened to do with that. Had something to do with this. Like maybe even though that they were there, they really were irrelevant to the death. And it was on purpose to do that, like knowing who's in the house, like that, because that clearly, from what I remember, that had nothing to do with it.
Right. She was shaking at the right. when they all walked in on it.
Yeah.
Like, she was being electrocuted.
She
then.
And the fish. Although the fish were probably also trying to breathe.
Right.
There was a lot of flopping going on between the people and the fish. Some,
right.
Anyway, none of them were breathing at that point, probably. Some were electrocuted, some not.
Anyway.
Okay.
So, back on track. Okay. So we've got the three crime scenes. So that was, you know, we saw some people unite, some people. And then I thought it was really interesting how Dante, from the beginning, really tried to gain trust. And he was like, this is what I saw. Even though what he thought he saw was wrong, he was honest with what they cumulatively decided at the morgue. And then who was it that came over?
Ulysses.
Yeah, he came over and he was like, no, Dante's a liar.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Which was very interesting from the beginning how, like, right away you saw, like, okay, some people are going to lie and some people are going to then – he, like, blamed Dante and, like, the drama from that moment was, like, created – like, it was created at that moment that people are going to be not truthful.
Which yeah, but it's weird because why would he lie about that when they say at the end how she died? So then that would come up that the musket ball was there.
Right. Well, yeah, yes, at this point, probably found some of them who are thinking at least would have figured out that Ulysses was lying to them.
Right. But see that the contestants, like, do True. We know that the contestants see exactly how it was done, or is that just for us?
I think when they did the reveal with, with the butler, with Giles,
people were
doing a lot of reaction shots as they talked about it. So I'm assuming that they also got the reveal because you had,
They did. When they were all kind of like, ooh, I was really off.
You had the slight over actor Melina doing her. Et cetera.
And Dante was like, wow, she really didn't drown.
Yeah, you're right.
The water.
But even in the beginning, though, he did think that. You know what I mean? So that's why he said it. And then Ulysses was like, they all thought that. So that he was just being protective with information, whether or not they know that at the end you're going to get the reveal, because they honestly thought that. And they were still just hoarding information, so to speak. Right. So that was interesting. It just set the tone that people are going to lie to each other and everything like that.
And I think it also set the tone that people seemed to think that Dante was not like particularly smart or credible. Like that's how they reacted to him versus Ulysses. I mean, he was telling him one story, Ulysses was telling him another. They were completely conflicting, and it seemed that most of them were like, "Yeah, Dante is just making up a bad lie because we didn't hear a musket ball. I mean, that's not even a good lie.
Yeah, it sounds like a really weird lie.
Yeah, and so then they trusted the guy with the skinny tie and the untrustworthy hair. I'm sorry.
Call
Ulysses.
It like it is. And then I think it was very interesting. We get to the point where they get the keys. They all get the keys, which I think was very clever. Like, I liked clues like that. It was, you know, the Bible verse on the one side of the key, then it turned to the other side of the key, and then it led to the window, and then it led to the trunk outside. You know what I mean? Like, I thought that whole part of it was very believable. That was, for me, like, ooh, we're playing Clue here. Like,
right.
This riddle to that riddle, like...
Connecting the dots was helpful. I mean, I think, you know, if they had, even if it was a really easy one, if they had just done that, like, in the room, like, they gave him a card for example, in the last known whereabouts that would, you know, said just even if it's a really easy riddle, the answer being steam or something, then that would be more credible as to why they're suddenly looking on the mirror in the last known whereabouts
point.
Why they're looking behind. You know, just more of that stuff would be, I think... Help. I mean, it's just even if it's just kind of an interstitial connecting the dots, it would help the continuity.
It'd be more believable,
right? Yeah.
And it would be more fun for us because we'd be trying to figure it out,
right?
Because like the Bible thing, I didn't know. Although Brian was like instantly, "Oh, it's the Bible," and I was just like, "What?"
Like, I like the clock thing too. Was it Cam that thought it was a clock? And he started, like, spinning the clocks? I thought that was interesting.
1317 was a clock that I was...
He thought it was military time, which, I making use of the numbers, like, I thought that was interesting because you never know. In stuff like this, like, you could move the clock to 1317 and it could open up and there's a key in there. And in there, there's, like, another clue. You know what I mean? So, and most of the people went with either one or the other. I mean, a lot more people, I think, went with the Bible verse. And then who was it that turned the key over? Is that Ronnie?
Ronnie.
Yeah.
And then he just...
Bounty hunter. He got his bounty from the other side of the key.
And then he was, after... Once he went to the window and saw the trunk and saw the inscription on the windowsill as well, I think at that point, like, he had the adrenaline of I'm figuring this out. And then once he got to the trunk, like we were talking about, he had the moment of, oh, crap, this is a game. I shouldn't have, no one else figured this out but me. Like, I shouldn't have told everybody what was going on. And which hopefully the next episode will be a lot more of that. Like, there was a lot of, like, herd going on. Right. Like, everyone was here, everyone was there, everyone was there, and team. And now Ronnie might be like, okay, I outsmarted everyone in this house, so to speak. So I should, you know, maybe I should stay on my own a little bit.
I mean, I think it's perfectly natural and human when you're first among, like, a group of people that you know you're kind of going to be around for a while to kind of feel like, oh, wow, I did something impressive. Let me share with them. Like, now they know.
Right, the approval, the, you know, whatever. Yeah,
I mean, I think, you know, it was perfectly, that was a very, I think, at least seemingly genuine moment for him to just, you know, kind of reveal it right off the bat to these new people.
But I didn't understand why he was, like, he looked like he was slightly confused when you were looking at him looking out the window when there was no window pane, but there was clearly no window pane there.
Yeah, that was clear.
Like, how did he was like, oh, I don't get it. And I'm like, there's no window. I can see there's no window. Like, how do you not see there's no window?
Maybe he's thinking about why is there no window, though. I mean, that would be, right, like, he might have, I mean, I think it probably doesn't take a lot to say, oh, there's no window pane. But his first thought might be, what's the meaning of this lack of window pane? And then you'd have confusion on your face because that's probably what he's, you know, he's saying.
I don't know.
And then it strikes him that maybe something came in from
outside. No, I kind of agree. Like, I don't think you would out loud be like, there's no window pane. You might, but maybe he was trying again to keep it to himself a little bit, but I don't know. But the inscription in there, too, was like
613.
Maybe that was the code on the combination. No, it was a key. 613. I don't know.
Oh, wasn't it the facing east? No, that was the window.
Yeah.
I don't know what that number was for.
I was busy looking at his facial hair, which is stunning.
Amazing.
Very nice goatee. Moving on.
And then we get to the dinner. Where, I mean, I guess that's kind of like in Survivor, like the going home, like they figure out who's who. And so everybody was safe except Don and Dante.
Because you see them go into the room and they have to describe how they think the murder happened.
Yes.
Except this was a big pet peeve, I think, of maybe not just me. They didn't show a lot of that. And so
they showed snippets, which really could have tricked us for who said what in one order, which I thought was smart for them. But you're right. Yeah.
I mean, just at the end, like, you know, we're left as viewers. Maybe they have this stuff as additional content online. I haven't looked. That would be, I mean, I think something that would be helpful to help drive, you know, viewer participation or at least engagement with the show. You know, seeing what they did, so then you can kind of judge for yourself, even if you're not voting, which, again, would be, I think, another maybe this is too meta for this segment, but, you know, we weren't seeing a lot of what I think was the, you know, supposed to be the kind of the crux of this episode, which is, you know, what their thoughts
are. An explanation of the game.
Right, an explanation of the game, and then, you know, what the competitors actually were. You know, what their theories were, what they're being supposedly judged on whatever.
Yeah, we heard bits and pieces, and then we did hear who everyone thought did it. Right. And everyone kind of was really different. I mean, Adriana got 2, and everyone else, there was no one else that got 2. So I think that's interesting. Yeah, and people are, you know, going with that sketchy vibe and, you know, feeling it. But again, maybe that's a trick. So we'll have to see. But then, after that, we get to the table and we have the spared and scared. And once it came down to Don and Dante, I think we all agreed that we knew it was Dante that was going home.
Yeah.
Well, I was really surprised that it was Sasha that was the first most impressive safe person.
Yeah, I agree with you. I don't think that she did anything. Like, I just didn't. The reason why in the beginning I was like, she's the one that did it is because her presence, like, it wasn't strong, it wasn't weak, it wasn't smart, it wasn't dumb. You know what I mean? Like, it was just, she was just kind of there. And I thought if that is the mole or the one plant murderer, the one planted there, like, that's a very, because she's kind of just chameleon over here and flow over there. You know what I mean? And I felt like that's who she was, except that one confrontation. But you know what I mean? Like, for the most part, you didn't hear from her a lot.
Yeah.
So that was.
But I mean, that was part of my, you know, that was part of my, I don't know if it was criticism, but dissatisfaction with the reveal of what they were saying in their, you know, in their confessional slash accusation or whatever solving moments. I mean, we didn't see what Sasha really did. So we don't know. I mean, you know, they showed us like 10, 15 seconds of everyone. I mean, it looked like presumably they were going like 5 minutes or something. If we had seen a little more, you know, it'd be, and maybe this is one thing that they're doing, which is they're trying to keep us on our toes as to whether, you know, as to why people are choosing. But I felt completely unqualified to say yes or no whether Sasha was, you know, gave the best theory because we didn't see it.
Right. And I think, too, we're not quite sure what they're basing that theory on.
Right.
If it's like, you know, there's 3 points like, you know, Mr. Plum with the candlestick in the library, like they, if they hit the 3 major points, then the other ones are better or whatever. Like we're still a little bit unsure of that. And then that leads us to, which I believe we all had a little chuckle at when they were, you know, called in the middle of the night for the head count and Don didn't show up. And then all of a sudden he showed up with, I'm here. Like, woo, I made it. Yeah. Like, you know, like he was running from the fire of Dante kind of seems. Yes.
I know that it's trademarked, but I still thought they should have said, Dante, you're fired.
Yeah. That's funny. There. But and then he did come out, which, again, led us to believe, you know, it's clearly an actor stunt. Man, whatever. That happens.
I guess it would be funny if they set their reality show contestants on fire and threw them in a wall.
I think that might be a lawsuit.
Yeah.
Skinny tie guy wouldn't be able to handle it.
Yeah, no, I don't think you can contract your way out of that sort of thing.
Right. Yes. You win $250,000 or you die.
Yes.
So I bet you there's people in Hollywood that would sign up.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, you know, it's like, hey, this is my shot. So yeah. You know, if I lose, hey, I go out in a blaze of glory, literally.
Right. Da-dum-dum. Shh.
Yes.
Anything else that I've missed that you guys want to talk about? I feel like we can kind of move into predictions a little bit.
Yeah, no.
I think that was the main stuff. So here we go.
You're After Buzz TV.
A little mood lighting. I like it.
Yeah, I like the mood.
So I think there's 2 big things that we want to predict. I think one of our predictions is the show itself going to give us some clarity on the judge, like how they're picking who goes home?
Oh, I thought you were going to say if it's going to continue.
Oh.
If it's going to get picked up.
Well, we've got 7 episodes to start.
That's really, jeez. That's really.
That's where she was going.
I know. That's
I mean, that's like step 3.
Yeah.
I mean, we're 1 and 2 here. Yeah, there's 7 episodes. Are we going to know what's going on?
From what I hear, there's heavy Twitter traffic.
Yeah. Everybody seems to love it.
People are loving it on Twitter. So to answer your question, I think they won't just cancel it tomorrow.
I mean, as long as
but they got to tell us what we're looking for.
It is going up against the high wire stunt today, so. I don't know. My parents were talking about
it. He made it, by the way.
All right,
crossing the Grand Canyon on a tightrope.
Wait, he was crossing the Grand Canyon.
I didn't even know about this.
Yeah, he made it. He didn't die.
Well, okay. I thought ours was a little more suspenseful, so let's stick with that.
Yes. So back to that. Do we think that we're going to get clarity on like how these people stay or not? Like, are we going to get clarity on how they picked Don and Dante? Do we think that that's going to happen?
I mean, I think that's something that could be added in post or in something that, like, if they're listening to feedback, I have to assume that we're not the only ones who are like, what is going on in terms of, and I read the LA Times review, and that was another thing that they, you know, the reviewer, which I'm sure that the producers read that, you know, was saying, it's not clear what's going on, what kind of criteria are people are being judged here. And also, hey, can we get a little audience participation or something? That would be, you know, you've got basically, you know, this is a really, you know, it's a relatively unmined premise, a seemingly pretty good fit for reality TV and for audience engagement. And, you know, they took a couple of whiffs in the first episode, I think, in terms of, you know, some of the opportunities that they could have. So I think that that is something that even though they've wrapped, you know, I think that's something that they can still do, whether it's an online after show, whether it's just, you know, just some type
Our
of
after show.
Or maybe they could just tweet us or come in.
We'd love to have any of the contestants, producers, anybody, makeup artists, anybody that has anything to do with the show to give us a little insight would be great.
Maybe we can get Giles. He lives here in L.A.
Really, Giles?
He was an attorney, turned actor.
Go to Lockhart, something.
Mm-hmm. Let's get Giles in here.
I would also like the person that put the glass in their forehead because she brought makeup. Yeah,
that would be cool.
Yeah, to stage the deaths and stuff. So if you guys are listening, come. And then, okay, It's really early, but who do you think is the ultimate murderer?
I'm still between Chris and Ulysses, the two people who just to me scream professional actor.
Okay.
I think Ulysses. He just doesn't, I don't know, there's just something about him. He wasn't really, I don't know, he just didn't seem really involved.
Okay. I'm going to stick right now with my gut of Sasha. I don't know why, but I'm going to stick with it. So that wraps up our after show for Whodunit, and you can find me on Twitter at IAMSTEFZ. Where can we find you guys?
You can find me at Virginia Reina.
And you can follow my co-hosts on just...
Brian doesn't really tweet.
You don't tweet?
He has a Twitter. No, you have a Twitter. He's Brian J. Dunn with me. Right, but he doesn't really tweet.
Okay. Well, you can tweet us then for if you have any questions.
Yes.
Okay, guys. Thanks for watching.
From Bing.com, executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.